do and be on the local level where we live. And just to hear from groups as they wish to respond, and hear from each other. Somebody started off, Chris.
Thanks. In our discussion just now, found ourselves at first talking about things that, in effect, we really don't need to call Congress to do. We can do with any ecumenical partner, such as a joint meeting of clerics, joint educational activity, and then we focused in on what in particular we can do thanks to call to common mission that we couldn't do before. And we realized that what that was, for instance, adjusting our summer vacation schedules to cover for each other as supply in a community where we're living close together. And we also realize that another thing that we can do is the sacramental pastoral care that we could not do without CCM. We can provide the Eucharist for the shut-in, for hospital visits. We can, in a particularly an emergency situation, do a funeral that included the Eucharist for the other. So pastoral care sacramentally and supplying for each other were two of the things that we cited as being particular gifts from CCM that we can do.
Hear from another group.
Our group talked rather long and loud and didn't accomplish a whole lot. But when you understand the group that I'm working with, you understand why that would be. We centered around having lunch and breakfast at each other's places. And then we found out that it was Father Jim Parks who was offering it over at Ascension Roman Catholic Church. Holy Apostle?
Yeah, Holy Apostle.
Yeah, I never see him there. We decided that it would be nice to have clericists and ministers together, but then we found out the Episcopalians had so many churches they couldn't bother with 11 churches in Tidewater or in Lutheran. So that was big. Then we thought we'd do youth programs, and All Saints has 87 youth, and Good Shepherd Lutheran Church has 3, so we decided that wouldn't work. We discussed a lot of things. We're friends. Well, we were friends.
Our group had a little more success than that. Just briefly, one of the was an attitudinal idea, was the idea of treating each other as if part of one church and behaving in that way, and attitudinally, even if sharing stories with our own, our staff or others about, being careful what you say about one another in terms of not giving the impression that the other is outside the church, but that we're all part of the same thing. And attitudinally, maybe that would mean the seminaries ought to relook if you were taking your education with somebody else's seminary, of saying that's not good enough, you still got to come over to ours for a year in order to get purified and for that year. Maybe we could do it some other way. Second was to continue to learn more from one another, and even thirdly was to expand our conversation across the judicatory boundaries. There are some places where our boundaries don't all agree, and even within, like in Richmond, our conference in the Lutheran Church crosses over both two of the Episcopal dioceses. I know we've got that up in the Metro D.C. area and other places, and just to keep pushing those conversations out further and further to include more in the conversation. We've certainly gotten to the use of interims and clergy sharing as a result of CCM, and the encouragement to the bishops and others is to continue that and to expand that sharing. A practical point we were concerned about was, are there some ways that we can literally pool our resources of congregations that might help control health care costs, other insurance costs, or if we do have a clergy of one denomination serving a church of another, is that church willing to pay into the pension plan of the other, and how do we work those things out, because the percentages of salary going into pension plans are not the same in the two groups. I've often said to my wife, I'd like to be an Episcopalian and get 18% put into the pension plan. That's a lot better than the 10 or 12 that goes in from the ELCA. But we need to look at those kinds of concerns and maybe ways to control the costs of those things. The business of new church starts, continuing to look at ways in which we can start new churches together, and there again, maximize the use of resources in that process. And that one of the things that might help that would be to continue to share stories of mission and ministry together that really work, and so that people become more open to the possibility that shared ministries in this new start or other places can in fact be effective for the work of the church. And finally, was to encourage the clergy to teach and commit, make a commitment to teach and model the broader acceptance of each other in our congregations by teaching and talking about each other's liturgy and sharing them and sharing instructional ways in each other's churches as well, but to share that commitment and put it into practice.
You like that group,
didn't you?
Not to repeat what's been said in some other groups, but in our group, one of the things we talked about was the fact that there are far too many Lutheran churches and far not enough Episcopal churches, probably, and balance there, is the fact that quite often people can't get to the Episcopal church for various reasons, including weather in the mountains here occasionally, other things, that our congregations, the Lutherans especially, should be hospitality places. That is not to get people to be members, but tell them they're welcome for worship, invite them to participate in things they can, not with the ideas of doing that, but seeing ourselves as a larger church, that kind of thing. Yeah, home away from home if necessary, because we are in a position to be able to do that in the particular region we are. We are looking to talk about something that I had thought about, that's sharing demographic material. Different denominations have access to different materials, surveys and all that. What if we pool those together and get better, more accurate, smaller snapshots of what's going on in our communities, and particularly out here in the Valley, what we're talking about is the growth of Hispanic populations and how we might work together to do something as individuals, separate denominations we don't seem to be doing too well.
Okay. Our group had a slightly different problem in that a large part of three out of the five people there were from one convocation of which there are absolutely no Lutherans. And so we had the difficulty that there really wasn't an awful lot that could be done. However, we discussed kind of an overall problem, which sounds like some of the things that come up in our convocation anyway, is that there seems to be a disconnect with what really does happen in the small churches. On the ground, there are ecumenical things that go on. It's not necessarily the Lutherans, because there aren't really any Lutherans. But then it doesn't really connect upwards. There's even one church in diocese of Southwest Virginia, which is a truly ecumenical church, but it doesn't really feel connected to any of the three denominations of which it's a member, not completely connected. So this is a common thing I've heard since I've been in a rural area. There's kind of a disconnect between what actually does go on in the parish ecumenically and then what goes on at a higher level like this. They don't necessarily connect.
Northern Virginia group. I think you reflected on where we are in the stage of our relationship, 8 years or so into Call to Common Mission. And one of the things that seemed to be affirmed by most persons in the group is that we've done rather well in helping our clergy be energized and focused around these issues. Perhaps this conference is an example of that. Many of our colleagues are not here, but it's a significant number that are. Our bishops have remained supportive of this work. They don't have to come up with all the ideas, but we know very well that if they were not supported, it would not happen at all. And in some parts of the country, our colleagues do both complain and wish for better leadership in ecumenical matters. But there is a place where we could do a lot better, and that is within the worshiping communities that we serve. And that perhaps at this stage now, it's time for us to really make a concerted and persistent effort to bring home what ecumenical thinking might mean for persons who are functioning in congregations in the ordinary life of those communities, and how we can bring that about. And it's clear that there's nothing new about this, that one of the ways that that's going to happen is when communities close together in one manner or another are willing to persistently try to bring together those two different communities in their ordinary life. What would it mean if Christian education committees met together or reached a point where they would ask a question that said, how could we do this with, and then name another community? So some serious commitment on the part of the people in the room that it's time to make that happen. The other thing, at least was mentioned and affirmed, is that we have to continue to return to the sources so that this work is fed and disciplined by our identities as worshiping communions and traditions. And we will not be able to look to anyone to do that for us. It's the vitality of the community that does that out of its own instincts. It needs to know who it is and who the other is. And we need to do that together. So those two things. Always returning to Ad Fontes, always returning to the source, and bringing this home now to our communities.
I'll speak for the Northern Valley Winchester group. From Grace Winchester, Christ Episcopal, there's about 150 feet between our property. Two very closely related congregations, and for us, it was the 83 interim sharing of the Eucharist that gave real energy to us to begin to do some things together. David Knight at that time was rector at Christ Episcopal. I had just arrived at UK. In sharing that, and again to hear in the group, well, that's good for you guys because you're close together, but for those others in our group who don't have someone close to them or don't even have another congregation within the community, it's hard to get something going. So I think we acknowledge that maybe bilateral working together is a lot easier than multilateral if you've got to go beyond that. I would like to share a story that following 83 and 84, there was an ordination at Christ Episcopal. Bishop Lee was present, and it was a really wonderful experience for me when David walked down. He had gathered up after the ordination around the altar, and I was standing kind of off to the side, and I noticed the bishop say something to David. And David walked over and says, "The bishop has called you up higher." he said, David said that Bishop Lee had said to him, "Get those Lutherans up here." And we did, literally. And we had to stand closer, and Bishop Lee reached over and grabbed my shirt and literally pulled me up beside of him. I'll never forget that experience. But get those Lutherans up here. So we have some wonderful things happening in Winchester between Grace Lutheran and Christ Episcopal. We have an incredible Vacation Bible School where we have about 300 kids show up. And it's at Grace primarily because initially we were the only air conditioned facilities. and we're happy to share those. But now they have air conditioning also, so we share more facilities. We've also made a commitment to share Holy Communion on the principal days of Epiphany and Ascension and alternate from one congregation to the other. And that has proven to be very helpful. It's very difficult to get the Lutherans out in the middle of the week. So to have those kinds of joint services on those principal days that Ascension is always on a Thursday, it's just been a wonderful experience for us. It has created real strong bonds for us. So it's been a very positive thing, and one in which I've discovered that you have to be intentional. It's not going to happen. It's very easy. And I think in some ways the work of the devil to make me sit behind my, I just want to sit behind my desk and do my own thing. I think to go outside of myself and to turn to other brothers and sisters is a good thing. It's really opened my eyes. And I appreciate being called a pilot.
Well, I hope I'm waiting for everybody's safety. I'm happy to finish everything that we have on our list. I do appreciate the intentionality. We do have to be intentional in this. We do have to reach out. We have to drive a few miles sometimes to make this happen. But it can happen. We can do shared altar to help our congregations to see that this is important to us. If it's important to us, they'll follow along. We can take small steps at first, but gradually they'll get there. We can do shared social ministry. I haven't heard that in particular mentioned, with food pantries and maybe even continuing ed or ecumenical mission trips. Have intentional clergy meetings. I think that was mentioned earlier today, and I think that has to be intentional as well. And if it is one more thing on our little plates already, but if we want to make it happen, we have to do it first.
Have all the groups weighed in? Some may choose to remain silent. We hope this was thought-provoking, provocative. It was an exercise for regions and, again, loosely grouped, some closer than others, but we hope it's the kind of thing that may not only receive it from the ground, but we hope it will continue to percolate up and move out on the ground. It's not bad that we're running ahead of schedule and we move to Lutheran Compline unless there's more announcements. Charles, anyone?